You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. I'm your host, Mark King, as always. And as we started the series last week, we're having Amari Sankofa from The Athletic on every single Tuesday to talk about whatever happened on Monday, the weekend before. We're going to talk to him about all types of stuff. So let's get started. Amari, what's up, man?
Mark, how's it going, man? Last night was a down game for the Grizzlies at the very least. And there's a lot of stuff that kind of stood out for me just from a, you know, this is a young team that has a lot to figure out standpoint. So
it's a bit of a dose of reality, you know, like, and I said this on the show yesterday is that, yeah, the Charlotte Hornets suck at basketball. Like, they're going to be awful, but the gap between the international teams they played and the NBA, the lowest NBA team, is still huge. Like, it is a big, big jump. And I think a lot of those guys really saw that last night, that there's a long way to go for this Grizzlies team. And it's not going to be sunshine and roses all the time. I mean, there's going to be, you know, definitely highlights and parts as there were in last night's game, but there's still a long way to go for this Grizzlies team. It's a young team, like you mentioned. They have a lot to learn. What stood out to you the most last night's game? Just your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway was just that, you know, as you kind of mentioned, you know, this is a Grizzlies team that is young and has a lot to learn. And the gap between the Hornets, who, you know, were probably my pick to be the worst team in the NBA coming into the season, and, you know, like the New Zealand Breakers, you know, which, you know, they have a couple former NBA guys on that team. It's just dramatic. And there are things the Grizzlies looked pretty good at last week that just, you know, did not happen at all last night. And, you know, I think the game kind of shows, you know, well, obviously, you know, people are excited in the fan base. And, you know, there are some people who looked at up and down the roster and thought, well, this is a team that, you know, can maybe make some noise. You know, I feel like they're better than they are. But they just have to learn how to play winning basketball. And that's what separates, regardless of talent level, that's what separates, you know, at least average teams from, like, bad teams, which is that the average teams at least know how to do NBA things at a good enough level to be average, basically. You know, this team is still very far from doing that at this point.
Yeah, and if you want any more of Amari Sankofa's takeaways, you can check out his latest article from us last night, his 5 takeaways over on theathletic.com. Those are professional segues, guys. I do this all the time. the biggest thing for me is are you concerned about Ja Morant's offense? Is that something that I'm not sure if concerned is ever the word, because it doesn't matter this year. I mean, they're going to be bad, and I don't think it ever really matters. Like, I think the same thing with, like, rebounding. Yes, I think it's going to be an issue, but does it ultimately matter? Probably not. But so maybe concern is not the right word, but is there a point that Ja Morant's offense starts to worry about how it comes along throughout the year? Or what are the goals and standpoints we should be looking towards? Okay, he should be doing this, you know, I guess is the real, probably a better way to phrase it.
Yeah, I guess the thing about Ja is that we've seen through 3 games that he is an elite athlete. He's an elite passer, and he's an elite ball handler. And he is so good at those 3 things that I think it automatically gives him a very high floor to work off of as a scorer. You know, I think from a mindset standpoint, he hasn't really just had that scoring mentality, but we've seen him, you know, like, outrace everybody in transition to get to the rim. You know, we've seen him be able to use his ball handling to get to the rim. He's been a very reluctant shooter, and I think that's, you know, maybe the next step for him, you know, as far as his offensive development is, you know, taking advantage of when he has space, because eventually teams are going to start playing off of him. And when he punishes teams for doing that, you know, we'll start to see his game come together better. But he has been so good at just, even getting to the rim, even if he doesn't even have the mindset to attempt a layup, that I think at some point, as he gets more comfortable, things will begin to start clicking for him. You know, like at the very least, he should at least be able to draw fouls, you know, at a decent rate to get some of his points that way. You know, we've seen several plays where he's gotten to the rim wide open and, you know, he's kicked it out for three. You know, like 9 times out of 10, it's been like an open three. So it's not like a bad basketball play by any means, but it's also like if you have the layup, then maybe it's just better to take the layup. And, you know, you see him kind of shifting between, well, I'm going to pass this play, well, I'm going to score this play, I'm going to pass this play. And he's far more, more comfortable as a passer than as a scorer. Like, it's not the biggest deal. Like, he's an elite passer. But for him, I think it's more of just him getting comfortable and getting into the mindset of, okay, I need to, you know, score to keep the defense honest. I need to score, you know, just to help us as a team, you know, because passing will only get you so far. And the Grizzlies don't really have the shooters anyway to really do his passing justice at this point. So for him, I think it's just more mental than any actual shortcomings in his game at this point.
Yeah, he has to score. I mean, in this league, point guards have to score the basketball. Obviously, Terry Rozier, same thing last night. And again, I don't know if concern is the right word. I think it's probably the wrong word to use. And I don't want people to be like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with John Morant? Because there's nothing wrong with John Morant. It is a rookie who is learning the game. And that is the biggest takeaway, is that there are going to be a lot of these conversations that we have that are, what should we be looking for? But it is really, in the ultimate scheme of things, just a rookie learning how to play the game. And like you mentioned, a mental thing, you have to kind of change your mindset and go from, okay, I got to get everybody else involved, to how do I score the basketball, get to the rim, if that's drawing fouls or whatever that may be, while also still keep an eye out and looking for people and making the right play, like when to go and when to hold back for John Morant. That's something I think that will be huge and just the way he develops this year.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, especially for him, like he really does need to, you know, grow more comfortable as a 3-point shooter. He was 0 for 2 last night. I don't even think he attempted a three last week. I'm looking now. Well, he attempted 1 3-pointer last week, but we're at 3 3-point attempts in 3 games. You know, I think he shot the ball well enough at Murray State, you know, for me to believe that he can, you know, at least be a respectable 3-point shooter this season. But, you know, but it's just something he has to be in a mindset to take. You know, if he has space out on the perimeter, you know, he can just kind of step into that three. And, you know, that's certainly the thing I'm looking for this year, is how often is he taking threes? Is he taking pull-up threes? Like, is he, you know, just spotting up, like, yeah, and Taylor needs to kind of make it easier for him in the scheme to take threes as well, because the ball's in his hands so much that, you know, obviously it's just easier for him to, you know, create for others. So I think from top to bottom, they're all still kind of figuring everything out. But, yeah, like bottom line, Morant needs to be a little bit more aggressive as far as that.
Well, that's what the preseason is for, figuring things out. I mean, obviously, clearly John Morant's best – use of his offensive ability early on in the season is going to be in the transition. As we saw last night, he is so quick. I mean, and he's so good with handling the basketball at full speed. It really is so crazy and impressive that he is so quick to getting to the bucket and getting transition baskets. Even if it's one of those transitions where it's not really transition. I saw him, I think maybe 2 games ago. I don't know if you remember, he had like a transition bucket off of a made basket. Like, he was just so quick at getting the ball down the court that the other team really didn't even look up. Again, competition, we all know, but it just those type of things are going to be his biggest asset going forward for this team. Someone is counterpart, I guess, to this Grizzlies franchise, Jaren Jackson. He really struggled last night. Now, I think concern is the right word. Is, are we concerned with Jaren's ability to stay in the game for a full game this year? I mean, it's something he struggled with last year, something clearly against the first competition of NBA competition, struggled with it again.
Definitely. And I think there's two things going on with Jaren. I think the first part is that he, you know, is getting used to being a focal point for this team. You know, he was not a focal point last season. you know, right when he had the opportunity to be a focal point after they traded Marc Gasol. You know, of course, he went down with the thigh injury and missed the rest of the season. So he's never really got a chance to be a featured part of, you know, like the offense. You know, he was always more of an auxiliary piece, you know, and I think now that defense are keying in on him more, there's an adjustment he has to make, you know, just as far as how he approaches the game, you know, not to mention, you know, the fouls, as you mentioned, which were an issue last year and, you know, apparently are still an issue at this point for him as well. You know, that's something that he's going to have to figure out. But the other side of that is that we have not seen him be able to do the things that he was good at last year. You know, he was a good post-up player last year. Like, he hasn't really posted up as much this year. He's been much more of a face-up big, you know, that's like attacking, using his bar handling and whatnot. But like last year when he would do a lot of, you know, set a quick screen and then seal at the basket, you know, get good position, you know, hit a jump hook or whatever. You know, he did more damage at the rim last year. And this year he's been much more of a face-up guy. And I think that's been a transition for him because, you know, I think he's better in the role he played last year than the role he's currently playing now. You know, there's a lot of talk about him being, you know, maybe a Giannis-type player or obviously just more of a modern kind of, you know, ball-handling big. And he's never, like, it's not to say he can't become that, but that's never really been the player that he is. You know, the vast majority of his attempts last year came at the rim. And, you know, I don't know his exact split this year, but he's definitely, you know, operating from outside the perimeter more than he is with his back to the basket. So
right.
I think, you know, the coaching staff needs to do some things to help him get comfortable, you know, allow him to go back into some of those sets that he had last year that he excelled in. Like, he was a really good efficient scorer last year. So I think the coaching staff needs to help Jaren get comfortable into the new scheme by incorporating some of the stuff he's already good at. And
right.
Of course, Jaren also just needs to, you know, cut the fouls down and take care of business on a defensive end, you know, so that it's easier to play him for longer stretches.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and it's something that, again, I think he'll probably have to deal with all year long, whether they're, you know, and as you mentioned, is the more he plays that five center position as well, like that will be something that you'll have to transition to and be very, very different for Jaren Jackson going forward in the NBA. Coming up real quick, we'll continue our conversation with Amari Sankofa after the break. Welcome back to the show, talking with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic, as we're going to do every single Tuesday of the NBA regular season, and probably not into the playoffs this year, but maybe next year for this Grizzlies team. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, spend a whole segment on Brandon Clark and how awesome he is, but he looks ready for this league. I know it's preseason, but his rebounding is such an elite skill and something that the Grizzlies will need very, very badly, but he seemed to be everywhere last night, just in every play. I mean, I know you guys talked to him after the game. He just mentioned that he just really plays hard because he has to, kind of. But he was everywhere last night.
No, he really was. Like, last night was really just a classic Brandon Clark game. And, you know, I think it's certainly encouraging to see that, you know, things he's always excelled at, you know, at Gonzaga and at Summer League. You know, it's only been one game against one NBA team, but, you know, he looked extremely comfortable last night. And he was maybe the only Grizzly who looked extremely comfortable last night.
Right.
I think says a lot. What he had, 16 points, 12 rebounds, a couple steals, a block. Like, he was just everywhere. You know, he's currently the best rebounder on the team, which obviously when Valanciunas comes back, you know, he'll compete for that crown. But right now it's Clark. And it's really not even close. You know, he has 29 rebounds through three games. I think Jaren's second because he had 18 last week. And then, you know, I think he had five last night, which, you know, like, again, like, he struggled as a rebounder against, like, an actual NBA team, which, you know, was the issue with Jaren last season. And, you know, looks like it might be an issue again this year. So Clark, he just does a lot of stuff that you're not getting elsewhere on the roster. Like, he's so good in transition. You know, he's a live
right.
threat. He, like, I mean, just the way he's able to disrupt the defense and get steals, like, he just moves so well. Like, he moves so well. His instincts defensively and as a rebounder are top notch. And, you know, and personally, I want to see how he looks against OKC. I want to see how he looks against the Spurs this week. He's a guy that I think, you know, some people said this guy could be first team all rookie. You know, if he continues to play like how he did last night, you know, maybe he has a chance to be a bit more than that. But he's just a great player, and he fits exactly what, you know, Jenkins has kind of been preaching, even without shooting threes.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think that Brandon Clark, do you think that he plays more minutes than, he's obviously going to be the first pick off the bench, but is it a point at the end of the season where he plays more minutes than Jonas Valanciunas, even though Jonas maybe starts? Do you think we ever get to that point this season?
I think because Jonas does things that, you know, like maybe nobody else on the roster will be able to do at quite the same level, you know, both as a post scorer and as a screener and as a rebounder, that I think personally there's a chance that Valanciunas leads this team in minutes, just because there will probably be a dramatic difference between when he's on the court and when he's on the bench, just given that he's one of probably the only guy in the roster at this point that you know can get you a consistent bucket. That said, you know, I do think Brandon Clark can be top five on this team in minutes, you know, and certainly first big off the bench, assuming he doesn't eventually find his way to start a small forward, you know, and if he starts attempting threes and can hit them at a decent rate, you know, then maybe he can start a small forward. So Valanciunas, I'm not sure about that, but I do think that Brandon Clark can be top five in his team in minutes.
Yeah, I'll pump the brakes on the Brandon Clark taking Jonas Valanciunas' starting spot for now.
Later
on the season, it might ramp back up. You know, they're just really, you know, Brandon Clark's just he's such a good rebounder and he's so athletic, and I think it's something that Taylor Jenkins will want to push the tempo and want to do. And I'm curious to see how Jonas Valanciunas fits in that slot. Like, how does he fit in athletically with kind of rounding him down the court, like we saw last night with Brandon and Ja and Jaren? Like, where does he do there? And speaking of Jonas, what's up with Jonas's foot? Is it, I'm assuming it's okay. What do you know?
You know, they're saying it's okay. You know, they're saying it's just a sore foot. There's nothing structurally wrong. I'm inclined to believe that because he's been a presence at practice, even if he hasn't actually practiced. And, you know, he's been walking around, like, you know, I guess you would think if something was actually structurally wrong with the foot, he would be on crutches and he definitely wouldn't be walking around on his foot. You know, with that said, you know, it's definitely more of a wait and see. You know, I think it makes sense that they're holding him out of preseason because it's preseason. But if he misses next week's opener against, you know, Miami, I think then it becomes a little bit more like, okay, is this something that could be a long-term issue? And I'm just kind of in wait-and-see mode on that. But for now, I think that it really is just a sore foot. He had a busy summer and thought outside the realm of possibility that, you know, he just overworked it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm inclined to believe them for now. But I mentioned this on my show yesterday, is that this Grizzlies team has had a tough time with medical updates over the past however many years, probably 7-8 years now. Just not great. As we saw with Chandler Parsons and even with Kyle Anderson. I mean, so did they know about Kyle's shoulder before they signed him is always a question on my mind. So we'll see how this medical staff and this new front office handles these players this year. It'll be interesting to see as we go along. Let's take one more break. We'll be right back with our last segment with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. Talking to Amari Sankofa of The Athletic, as we'll do every single Tuesday this year. So make sure you stay tuned for those episodes. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Grayson Allen. Going from sixth man to starter last night, but really just kind of non-existent. I mean, there are obviously a lot of lineup changes, but Grayson Allen was one of the biggest ones, got put in starting lineup over Dylan Brooks. This is probably obviously just Taylor Jenkins trying things and how things worked and him running with the starters, all that stuff. So I don't read too much into that, but he didn't do great last night. He was kind of nowhere. I mean, I really don't even know what his stat line was, but it wasn't enough for me to notice. I'll put it that way.
Certainly. And I think what we saw last night is probably closer to what I expected would be the case during preseason. And it's kind of funny because all the shooting guards have played better off the bench than they have in the starting lineup so far during preseason. But Dylan Brooks, you know, I think we said this last week, is the only shooting guard on the roster who has performed well against NBA defenses. You know, he started most of his rookie year. He was solid on both ends of the court. And he is like Like out of all the shooting guards, he is the one sure thing. Like we know that this guy can perform. And I think last week, you know, especially against the Breakers, he was kind of pressing a little bit. You know, he's taking bad shots. He was trying to force himself into a rhythm. You know, obviously after playing 18 games last year, I think he kind of felt that pressure of, oh, I have to go out here and perform. You know, I have to go out here and carry the offense. And
right.
He shot 2 for 13, and it just looked bad. You know, meanwhile, Grayson comes off the bench, and he looks like Dwayne Wade. He's blocking, you know, like these shots, and he's just doing all the stuff he's never done before. You know, but I think last night was probably closer to the norm. Like, I do think Grayson can become an NBA player, but Grayson's also a guy who spent most of that season in the G League, you know, and Marco Guderick is a guy who, you know, I still not played an NBA regular season game. You know, Dylan last night, he played within himself. He didn't force the issue. You know, he played defense. He hit 3 of his 4 or 5 three-pointers. And he looked kind of like how he looked during his rookie season. You know, he's not going to be the best player on the court, but he's also not going to be the worst. He's going to do everything adequately. You know, you kind of know what you get. And he could definitely hit threes and knock them down at a decent clip. You know, I think if he could do that night in and night out, the starting shooting guard spot should be pretty solidly his, unless Marco or Grayson, you know, find another gear of play.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game like last time that really starts to put the players on the team in perspective. You know, look, I was excited about Grayson Allen. I think everyone's excited about Grayson Allen, but he comes in against legitimate NBA players and defenses, and it's a different story, and they're going to be ups and downs. There are going to be games that he does have that are really good against NBA players. It's not that – I don't think he's not going to, but it really puts a lot of that stuff into perspective. Again, you know, your younger players and how they perform against NBA players, you know, on a regular basis. Like, whenever Ja Morant has to go up against James Harden, like, whoa, what's going to happen? Like, how bad is he? Will he be exposed against James Harden or Russ Westbrook or Steph Curry or Kyrie or any of those guys that are elite point guards? And so, you know, doses of reality will come very often for this Grizzlies team. Last guy I want to talk about before we get out of here, Ivan Rabb got some minutes last night, played well. Miles Plumlee also got minutes, played terrible, as expected from Miles Plumlee. But Ivan Rabb, I thought he was good in the minutes that he played. I thought he did well with what he was given. Did he go – how long of a way do you think he got to, like, saving his roster spot? Is that possible now for Ivan Rabb, or do you think it is a – foregone conclusion with the non-guarantee and everything else that in the small, you know, the small money that he'll be waived?
It's tough. I think at this point, you know exactly who Ivan Rabb is as a player. You know, he's going to be a solid rebounder. You know, he's always been a solid rebounder, and he might be the third best rebounder on this roster after Brandon Clark and Jonas Valanciunas, you know, which means something. You know, he grabbed 8 rebounds last night in, like, 20 minutes, and he had most of those rebounds, you know, in the first 10 minutes of his play. You know, so he's a guy who, you know, in spurts could be a volume rebounder for you, which is something that the team will need. You know, it's tough to say if he actually did enough to kind of save his roster spot, because there's a lot more to his game that have not really come together in NBA action yet. You know, he's so fast as being a good three-point shooter in G League last season. That hasn't really translated to the NBA. He showed flashes of being a good playmaker in the G League last year. That hasn't really translated. So you have a guy who, you know, still is a little bit one-dimensional as a rebounder, and maybe as a guy who can, you know, just get some clean-up points under the rim, but he's not really a great rim protector, and he doesn't really give you much else.
Right.
So I think we can firmly say that he is better than Miles Plumlee.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, without a doubt. But beyond that, you know, I think it's kind of tough because, okay, you have Rabb, and then you have Solomon Hill, who, you know, was one of Jenkins' go-to guys last week and, you know, did play, you know, solidly as an undersized big, even if he hasn't turned a whole lot as a three-point shooter. So I think on some level it still kind of boils down to, you know, Rabb versus Hill. And part of that may just depend on what the – team values, you know. Do you want to continue to develop Ivan Rabb and hope that he adds more to his game to being a rebounder? Or do you want to stick with Solomon Hill, who, you know, can play the 4 in spurts and also really just has a nice veteran presence for this team? And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, seems to really want to be here. He has family in the area, and, you know, and he seems to have really clicked with the entire franchise so far. You know, like, me personally, I think Solomon Hill, you know, like, this is not going to be a very good season from, like, a wins and losses standpoint, and it probably wouldn't be bad to have another kind of steadying presence in the locker room. You know, but at the same time, you know, I've been a fan of Rap, you know, and I think that if he develops that three-point shot, it could become a very useful player. So it's a bit of a tough call, you know, and either way, you know, I don't think there's really a clear answer. It's just more, you know, like, what do you value as a franchise for next season?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, Miles Bradley played and came in and like, two guards drove right at him and they still scored. And then he had a sky hook that hit the back of the backboard and almost went out of the arena. So, like, he's terrible. But then Avrinata comes in and immediately you can tell there's a difference. But like you said, it, at this point, if you haven't developed an offensive game by now with Ivan Rabb, are you going to? That's the real question. Like, are you three years in with Ivan Rabb? Are you going to – things suddenly going to click now? Typically – I don't believe in that. I don't believe in, you know, people just automatically being something different than what they've always been. And so I think you can develop guys for sure, but just automatically changing what you've been and you've gotten time in the NBA, I don't know if that's something that you can just flip a switch and it just happens. So it is an interesting conversation and topic that they will have to have throughout the next few weeks, because they'll have to make roster cuts by the, you know, the regular season starts. So I have to get on 15. They got to get, you know, they have to have two guys out of here. And so, obviously, I think we all know that Miles Plumlee may be one of those guys that, you know, but the other one is still, I think, very much up in the air. I think Ivan Rabb did enough last night to at least make the front office and coaching staff go, huh, maybe we should think about it a little bit more. Like, at least all he did was give them pause, if not for long, maybe it's not a long pause, but it is a pause nonetheless in what they should or shouldn't do. Amari, I appreciate it. We will do it again next week. Again, every Tuesday, going to have Amari Sankofa on from The Athletic. If you have not already gone over there and subscribed to The Athletic, make sure you go and do so. It's only like $9 a month. It's not enough for me to notice to come out of my bank account. It's great stuff from Amari and Peter Edsman every single day over there covering the Grizzlies. Also, make sure you go and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies, whatever platform you choose. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple iTunes. Make sure you leave a review in Apple iTunes as well. Amari, I appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks a lot. See you next week.